Psalm 40, we're going to read just one verse as our text verse this evening. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us to understand that faith is willing to wait. Help us to be those kind of people. Help us to be people of faith. I pray that you will bless this brief time we share together this evening. Bless our study in the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Why do we have to wait? I think even the most patient person has become very impatient at times, having to wait for something or someone. And I'm not one of those most patient of people, and so I don't like to wait hardly at all. But why do we have to wait? Don't we wish things would happen faster or sooner than they do? I think most of us do. I was listening a few months ago to a local pharmacist on a radio talk show. And one of the callers of the program, a person that called in, said, I've heard that glucosamine and chondroitin are good for the joints. Is that true? And the pharmacist said, yes, there is some evidence that glucosamine and chondroitin, which are natural products, are good for helping rebuild the joints. But it takes so long, he said. And then he elaborated on that. He said, some people go as long as 6 or 8 weeks without experiencing any real changes. And I thought, I just kind of mentally scratched my head, and I thought, that's long? 6 to 8 weeks is a long time. Well, if a person is sort of adapted to the pharmaceutical line, you know, you take a pill and you instantly feel the relief. Almost within the hour you'll start feeling relief. And so, yeah, 6 or 8 weeks would be a long time if a person is not oriented to the fact that the body takes a little time to heal itself when it starts getting the right stuff put in it. But the point is that people don't like to wait. 6 to 8 weeks are nothing in the big picture. In fact, years are nothing in the big picture. I would challenge you to think back to the years of your life, especially if you're an adult, and I think you'd do like I do. There are some whole years I can't remember even one event that happened in a year's time. And yet we think of 5 minutes as being so vitally, critically important. You may pass a whole year or a whole episode or chapter of your life and not remember one thing that happened. Was that time not important? Of course it was important. Was it critical? You know, probably in some ways it was critical, but still our memory fails us. And so the idea is that even a year may not be a big deal when you look at the big picture, when you look at the whole span of one's life. And some of you who are 30 years old would probably say, yeah, the year that I was 18, the year that I was 19, the year I was 20, it all kind of muddles together, and I can't pinpoint one particular episode that occurred during all that time of my life. And it might have covered 12 months or whatever it is. But you know what I'm talking about. It was important, especially so at the time, but it's not important now. And so let's read Psalm 40, verse 1 again and see what we can learn from this text. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. The first thing that I would like to point out is the fact that God hears. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. And that word inclined means to lean toward or to cause to yield. He yielded to me. He leaned toward me. He heard my cry. Child of God, don't ever imagine that God doesn't hear your prayer or that he doesn't care. Don't ever think that. I was reading a little bit about Elizabeth Elliot today, and most of you know that name, Elizabeth Elliot. She was married to Jim Elliot, who was one of those six missionaries who was killed by the Auk Indian tribe there in South America. He died in 1956. They married in 1953. In other words, they were almost still newlyweds when she lost her husband. She said this. She said, "You'll either trust God through the difficulties of life, or else you will defy God. You'll either trust God or you'll defy God. You'll either submit to him or else you'll rebel against him," is what she's saying. And I think it's probably true. And I wonder how many people have become bitter against God because they can't get what they want and they want it right now. And God's not answering right now. Listen, don't ever think that God doesn't care about you or that he doesn't hear your prayers. He does. Even David, in his miserable condition, said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, and he heard my cry." One preacher said this: God classifies emergencies. God classifies emergencies. Two men, and he gave the example, two men go into the emergency room, both of them in great pain, and the doctor treats the one and lets the other one sit and wait. He's got a broken arm, the other one's having a heart attack. So the doctor classifies the emergencies, and similarly, God classifies our emergencies. The things that we get so upset about probably aren't as important as an eternal soul. It's just something that we kind of want, that we prefer, that we'd like to have it this way or that way. And God deals first with the most critical things. The eternal destiny of a soul is the most critical need as far as God is concerned. And of course, the arm patient may conclude that nobody cares about him, but that's not true. It's just that his emergency is not quite as compelling as the other emergency is. We don't see what else we may need to be accomplished in the process, and that's in addition to what we see as a need, we don't understand, and that's where Romans 8:28 fits in, and it becomes such a comfort. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. How could this be good? We say. We wonder. But God is infinitely wiser than you are, my friend. He's infinitely wiser than I am. And God knows what he would like to accomplish through that situation. You and I don't know. We don't know what God wants to do in that situation. So how can we blame God and how can we defy God instead of trust him? He says, "He inclined unto me, he heard my cry." God listens and God hears. Hold your place here. You don't need to hold your place there. We've almost memorized that verse, right? Psalm 116, verse 2. Psalm 116, verse 2 says, "Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Because he's listening to me, I'm going to keep on calling upon his name." And then Psalm 130, verse 2, says, "Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications." And they are. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29, says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous." The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. God hears those prayers. And back in Exodus chapter 16, it's interesting what the Lord said to the people here, or what Moses said to the people. In 16:8, Moses said, "This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." And a little bit later on, and God did give them manna from heaven in the morning. And a little later on, he gave them flesh. He gave them an abundance of quail that blew in from the sea, the Bible says. And was that really what they wanted ultimately? The Bible says they died from a plague while the flesh was yet in their teeth. Is that what they wanted? Well, no, that's not what they wanted. But God gave them what they asked for. And it wasn't, as it turned out, it wasn't the best thing that was for, it wasn't the best for them, even though it was what they asked for. God does hear the cry of his people, and we need to be careful what we ask for, because we're not as wise as he is. Look at Numbers chapter 11, the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 31, Numbers 11, 31. Here the word of God says, and there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high up on the face of the earth. That's a lot of birds. That's a lot of quail. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 omers. And they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And I suppose that they kept the breast and ripped out the breast and kept the rest, threw the rest of it away. And they cooked and ate the breast. It was meat that they wanted. Verse 33 says, while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And in chapter 21 of Numbers, we read again that they murmured against the Lord, and they said, we don't like this. We don't like what you've given us. They said, there is no bread, in verse 5, 21:5. Neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Was this what they wanted? Well, no, we'd say that wasn't what they wanted, but God sort of gave them their request, and it wasn't a good thing. And they weren't satisfied with God's provision when they should have been. They weren't content. They murmured and they complained against God and against Moses, and they didn't like what they got then either. It's far better to trust God than to defy God. It's far better to let the Lord have his way and accomplish his purposes than to challenge his purposes and not accept them. And people, you know what? People end up, it's too bad, they end up getting mad at God. And most bitterness ultimately becomes bitterness against God. I don't like the way God did this. And so they become bitter against God. I don't like the way God's handling this situation. Instead of saying with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. It doesn't matter. Whatever God wants to do with me is fine. Whatever it requires, whatever it demands is okay. Because God is the one who is always right. God's the one who's always right. I cried unto the Lord, and the Bible says he inclined unto me and heard my prayer, heard my cry. God hears. And the second principle that I want to bring to your attention from this verse is that we're called upon to trust him and wait. And we the question is, can we wait patiently? And there in Psalm 40, verse 1, I cried unto the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Are we waiting? Are we able to wait patiently? Can we just commit our way? Can we just trust him and be patient in all of it? And I'll be the first one to admit I have a problem with patience, and have as long as I can remember. But the Lord is desiring, I think, to overcome that weakness. And the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 2, if any of you lack patience, let him ask of God, which giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That's not James 1, 2. James 1, 2 says, if you fall into diverse temptations, rejoice, because God will work patience in your life as a result of those things, in the following verses. Does God hear? Yes, God hears, and so we're called upon to trust him and wait. And the question, a question is, first of all, is the Lord working? Is the Lord working? And my wife and I have had this conversation many times. Is the Lord working? Doesn't he always work? Nowadays, we're seeing people who refuse to work. And more people are not interested in working. But does God work? Is God always working to accomplish his purposes? Yes, I believe he's always working. God doesn't take any vacations. Oh, I think I'll just let this thing slide, let this thing drift for a while. No, God's working to accomplish his purposes. And he states in Isaiah chapter 55, my word will not return unto me void, but will accomplish the thing whereto I've sent it. God's always working. Did God make promise to Abraham about his seed multiplying? Yes. And did he keep his word? Yes, he did. Why did Abraham have to wait so long? Well, God was putting his faith to the test. God was making him the man that he needed to be. Did he command Abraham to offer that son when he'd given him as a burnt offering? Yes, he did. And did he still keep his word? Did God still keep his word? Yes, he did. We know he did. Did God tell Noah that a flood was coming? Yes. Did he keep his word? Yes. It was, by all accounts, it was 100 or more years before that flood came. It took a long time for Noah to build that ark by hand. But did God keep his word? Yes, he did. Did God fulfill his promise that he's made in his word to you? Did you ever claim one of God's promises? And did he keep it? Did he keep that promise? Has he been faithful to you? And we would say, yes, he's always been faithful to me. There's no reason to question God's integrity. There's no reason to question God's desire and power and purpose to keep his word. He always will. Is the Lord working? Is the Lord faithful? Absolutely. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Don't fail to trust the Lord. Whenever you feel like complaining, realize you're either going to trust him or you're going to defy him. So what are you going to do? You're going to defy God or you're going to trust the Lord and submit and commit your way to him? Does he love his church? Does he love the lost? And so on. Does he love the things that he loves? Let me challenge you with this. God loves those things far more than you do. He loves those things far more than I do. He loves his church. He loves lost souls much more than any of us ever could. So is he working? Yes, he's always working. Is he going to fulfill his purpose? Is he going to keep his promises? Yes, he is. So trust him. And don't worry and don't fret. Instead, ask him and trust him to fulfill his will here in your life, in this place. Look with me to Jeremiah. A couple of verses real quickly in Jeremiah that have been a real blessing to me. Years ago, I memorized 33, 1 through 3. And guess what? They're still the same as they were then. 33, 1 through 3. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. And I think it's interesting. He says it three times. The Lord, who is the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then back to 31:3. 31:3, another great blessing says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And so with those kinds of statements, those kinds of promises that God gives us, should we trust him? Should we commit our way to him? Is it safe to commit ourselves to the Lord? Yes, we should, and yes, it is safe always to trust God and to believe God and to claim his word and claim his promises. He hears and he will fulfill his promise, and we're called upon to trust him and to wait on the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Amen. So we wait and see what the Lord's going to do, and we keep on praying, we keep on trusting, and we keep on committing ourselves to him until he fulfills that promise. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us.